in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in Him. The mystery of Christ. The idea that it wasn't just God's chosen people who were able to access the love and peace and forgiveness that God had offered His people, that it was available to everybody. That was quite a concept. Remember who Paul was? He was a Pharisee. He was one who was killing and stoning and putting in prison Christians because they were not maintaining the true teachings of the Old Testament according to his understanding. And yet God had a plan for Paul's life. And he revealed that plan in a vision. And Paul was transported, was changed by that experience to become a whole different person. He was still the same person in many ways. A brilliant student of Scripture. An educated citizen of Rome. He probably spoke 4 or 5 languages and read them and wrote them as well, when many people didn't read or write at all. He was a citizen of Rome, meaning he had freedom to travel throughout the entire Roman Empire and access to Caesar should he need him. He was a pretty important guy. And from the Hebrew point of view, he was a Pharisee, well educated in the Scriptures, intelligent, having a lot of power to interpret Scripture for people and tell them what the law was and how they should live. And yet, somewhere along the line, he had gotten the idea that Jesus was heresy rather than divinity. Well, you know, when we get messed up, sometimes God just has to get our attention. Whew, boy, that can be rough. Paul had a little vision there. He was struck blind. He saw the risen Christ who spoke to him and said, "It is me that you are hurting." And he changed. He had the mystery of Christ revealed to him in this vision, and it transformed him from the zealous Pharisee who wanted to kill Christians to the father of the Gentile church. Of all the apostles, Paul was the one who traveled the furthest, founded the most churches outside of Jerusalem, who did the most work in bringing Christ and Christ's teachings to the rest of the world. See, all the other disciples were Jewish farmers, fishermen, people who wanted to stay in Israel, stay in Jerusalem, teach the Jews about Jesus, but none of them had any vision, any passion, any need to go outside of the Hebrew community. Yes, there were Hebrew communities throughout the Roman Empire, and they probably would have spread the word to them too, but they were not looking to convert any of the Gentiles to Christianity. As far as they were concerned, they were not worthy. We would not be considered worthy of Christ had not Paul come along and received his vision of the risen Christ and come to understand that the mystery of Christ included everyone. That's pretty wild stuff for their day and time. I mean, up until then, how did you become a Hebrew? Have you looked in the Old Testament? Is there a way that you go about becoming Jewish? There isn't one. If you're not born a Jew, you can't be a Jew. So God's chosen people were the people who were the children of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham. You had to be born into the family in order to be part of the family. And here's Paul going, whoa, wait a minute. No, you don't. Jesus died so that you could inherit the kingdom just like everybody else. Wow. What a deal. Surprise, surprise. Nobody knew that. Where would we be without him?
We'd be in trouble.
Paul's vision, Paul's recognition of that mystery, Paul's sharing of the gospel to the Gentiles changed the world. There are still Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. There are still Jewish Christian churches in Israel. They're Jewish. They keep kosher. They have all those 637, laws about what you eat and how you eat it and what you wear and how you wear it and all that stuff. And they follow all that. And they believe in Jesus as the Messiah too. Paul said, no, you don't have to do that. You're not bound by the law. You're bound by the promise of Christ. You are given the opportunity to be heirs to the kingdom of God, part of His people, without having to go through all that Old Testament stuff. Because that was the Hebrew people, and they did that, and that's cool, and we need to learn from them, but new day, new promise, new covenant, new relationship, a mystery of divine proportions. How could all of these people from all of these different nations speaking all of these different languages and all of these different customs and all of these different traditions all be Christians? It's a mystery. But we do it. Where's the fastest growing church in the world? Where's the fastest growing Methodist church in the world today? In Africa and Korea. What's happening in the world today? The church is exploding in the former Soviet Union. Because people lost faith in that system. They saw what happened when it fell apart. Oh, they heard the truth of Jesus Christ and, wow, I want some of that. Eternal. Spiritual. Transformation. Forgiveness. Freedom. Joy, peace, love. Wow. All that Christmas stuff that we sometimes take for granted in our rush to make sure we get to the sale. Make sure we get the turkey done. They are on fire for, because for decades they have not been able to worship as they chose. The mystery of Christ, that all can become heirs to the kingdom of God. The mystery of Christ, that His death gave us life. The mystery of Christ, that His birth brought into the world God incarnate, willing to sacrifice Himself for us. The mystery of Christ, that in Him we are all brothers and sisters. All brothers and sisters. And so He asks us to treat each other like family. We're a little dysfunctional family sometimes. But we try. We try and put out that hand of friendship. We try and share our troubles and our difficulties and help each other out and hold each other up and be there for each other. And being the humans that we are, we manage to mess it up. But we also manage to get it right. And so we go into 2011 knowing that there's going to be bad things that are going to happen. Knowing that there's going to be tough times. Knowing that there's going to be struggles. Knowing that there's going to be pain. Knowing that there's going to be cold. we're going to get more cold. It's getting cold out there right now, probably. And knowing that it's going to get so hot in August that we won't hardly be able to stand to wear clothes. But God will be with us through it all. He gave His Son, a part of Himself, that we might have life, that we might have that promise to be fulfilled, that He would be with us, that He would have a place for us, that we would be His, that we would belong to Him, that we would be His people. We no longer had to be children of Abraham. Now we could be children of God. Wow. How cool is that? Yeah, hallelujah. Woo-hoo. God loves us. You mean with all the people that have ever been and ever going to be, God loves us? Yeah. You. Every one of us. Loves us. Enough to sacrifice for us. Enough to die for us. Enough to promise us that we would be heirs to His kingdom, that we would be part of His family. And so in our church family, dysfunctional though we may be sometimes, we have that reflection of that love, of that commitment and that caring, where God says, yeah, I know, but I love you anyway. Yeah, it's okay, but, you know, just come on down. We'll get it straight. We'll get it cleaned up. We'll get it. We got it. I'm here for you. Don't worry about it. No matter what's happened, no matter how badly we've messed it up, no matter how much we have missed the point, no matter what. I mean, Paul was a oppressor, a killer, a person who put Christians to death, and God chose him to found the church through the rest of the Roman Empire. Why did he do that? Probably so everybody would know it was God. So everybody would know it wasn't just Paul, it was God. God changed the world. God changes the world every day. God changes the world for you and me in ways that we can't even imagine. And He will again, and again, and again, and again. Because He loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Born in a manger. Raised by a carpenter. Walked through the dust of Israel to share that promise. And then sent His least likely. What does Paul say? I am the least of the saints. His least likely emissary into the world to explain to them that they too, we too, were heirs to the promise, that mystery of God. It's an awesome thing. It's a wondrous thing. And so, even in our Christmas finery, all the lights, all the tinsel, all the shiny stuff, all the beautiful decorations, we barely scratch the surface of the wonder that we will feel when we see the truth in its whole totality. God with us. Amen.
Amen.